Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Monday, August 29th, 2016. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I'm in a very gloating mood this morning, and we'll see.
And rightly so. Brian Chaffin, how are you right now?
I am preparing to be gloated over.
So just so everyone knows, there's kind of a theme to the show right now, which is John gets to gloat over Brian. And so here's the deal. You two have been going back and forth about Apple Watch batteries. And John has been on the side of Apple's got to make the battery bigger in some way. And Brian's been on the side of watches going to be thinner.
John's point was that Apple would extend battery life.
Yeah, well, that qualifies as make it bigger in some way. Bigger extended life between
the
charges.
Watch has got to do more.
So, here's what we have right
and
now.
And I've been in the LOL reality camp.
Right.
Where Apple doesn't ever make the battery life longer. Apple instead makes things thinner. That's been my stance. I've been kind of a jerk about it.
Yeah. Well, now we have a photo. Excuse me. That's been leaked.
But you're a lovable jerk.
And this photo purports to be the battery from the 42 millimeter Apple Watch 2. And guess what? It has a higher milliamp capacity. Is that the right way to say that, John?
Yep.
And
milliamp hours.
There we go. And so anyhow, I think I kind of need to sit back for a moment and let John gloat.
Well, I wrote an article a while back called "Can the Apple Watch Be Any Thinner?" And I looked at the engineering piece of this and the user demands. We want the watch to be more independent. We want it to have more features. We want it to have a longer battery life. And none of that really leads towards a svelte, thin, second-generation Apple Watch. The original Apple Watch is iconic. Why not leave it that way and do some things to meet the customer needs and the extra demands of the watch? So you can decrease the power that's required to let it live longer. You can make the onboard software more efficient. You can make the key components, the motherboard, the SoC, smaller and make the battery larger in area, keep the case the same size. And you can improve the battery design so that it has more milliamp hours per unit volume. But what you can't do is have more battery life and more features and make the motherboard bigger and more powerful and make the watch thinner all at the same time. It just doesn't work engineering wise. So I came down on the size of keeping the case the way it is, iconic, and improving the miniaturization of the motherboard and giving yourself more area for the battery, keeping the thickness the same. It's about, I think, 5 millimeters thick. And so you'd have a larger battery, a smaller, more efficient motherboard with more advanced features, and you'd be done. And Brian said, no, John, don't you remember? Everything Apple does is always about thinner iPhones. It's going to be a thinner watch. And I'm going,
which nope, is true.
Can't do it. Not at least with the current engineering, can't be a thinner watch. So this article you're referring to, Jeff, seems to confirm my engineering estimates.
Well, so there's two aspects of this. First of all, you are, as ever, a gentleman in your gloating, because that was hardly gloating.
No, that wasn't really gloating at all. That was,
it certainly wasn't the kind of gloating I would have done. But there's two aspects of this. There's there is the thinner thing, but then there's the longer battery life. And I don't think Apple will give us longer battery life. I still don't think that. I don't care if this battery is bigger.
I think you're right on that. And the reason is because I read a lot of articles where Apple was initially very concerned about the battery life. And that's why we had this 18 second timeout when you tapped it, and some very conservative approaches to, you know, the app usage. And it turns out that Apple was perhaps overly concerned about getting through the day And as people started using the Apple Watch more and more, the reports came in that people were getting perhaps 2 or 3 days use out of it in modest use. So Apple has some room here to improve the performance of the Apple Watch, give it more features, and still get a day's charge with the battery that they have, or this new battery, which is supposed to have 35% larger capacity. Because apparently this, if I read the article right, Jeff, check me if I'm wrong, the battery is going to be a little bigger in area and the motherboard is going to be a little smaller in area, but the watch is going to be the same thickness.
That's the assumption based on the, on the photos.
Yeah.
Which I still find weird, because I still think that for the footprint of the Apple Watch, it's just too thick. But whatever, that's beside the point.
Hey, Brian, I'm going to throw you a little bone here.
Yeah.
And here, you may like this bone. So one of the things that Ming-Chi Kao has said, and he's for those of you that don't know who I'm talking about, he is an analyst from KGI Securities, and he has some good sources in Apple's supply chain. One of the things he said is that the surface glass on Apple Watch 2 is actually going to be a little bit thinner because Apple has a new process they're going to use for making that whole assembly. So, Brian, you may actually get a little bit of a gimme here because it may be slightly thinner.
If the next Apple Watch is in any way thinner and has the same battery life, I am going to teach John what glowing actually means.
Well, if it's a half a millimeter, I will declare that you're just grasping at straws.
No!
You sound like Jeremy Clarkson. So is this Jeremy Clarkson all of a sudden? No!
We will wait. We will wait and see. Anyway, my part of my point is that one of the things we've seen in watchOS 3 beta is that Apple Watch consumes more power.
Yes.
I'm going from having, 37 to 42% at the end of a normal day to having 15 to 22% at the end of a normal day. And this, I think this directly reflects what John mentioned, which was Apple executives talking about being conservative on what they let the Apple Watch do, that sort of sandbagging thing. Mm-hmm. And so to that extent, even if Apple Watch 2 has got more, does have a larger battery, I don't think we're going to end up with a longer battery life.
Okay, so John, here's where I think you have really missed a big opportunity as far as gloating goes, because today is the day that you get to totally rub it in on Brian, and I think that Brian is going to get to show you his superior gloating skills when Apple Watch 2 comes out. My expectation is that what Brian just said is exactly what's going to happen. We'll have the higher capacity battery, and then we'll have the thinner glass that I mentioned. So we'll have a slightly thinner overall watch, even though the body part hasn't changed.
If the glass is thinner, that just leaves more room in the case for the battery.
And so you better hope that's how it works, because...
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard Mr. Spock gloat?
Yes.
There you go. Yeah,
there was
the answer to
where he gloated.
Sometimes his gloating is done all with the raising of an eyebrow. And that's a very powerful gloat.
It's true.
If only you could see me.
If only.
I just raised my eyebrow.
All right. So, John, do you feel comfortable with the gloating that you have done?
Yes.
Like, you're an amateur gloater, man. I would be, just rubbing it in and just.
Well, that's because I know my time will come. So.
Well, theoretically, this is your time, sir.
No, my time will come when you'll be gloating on me and something I did.
Yeah, and I'll still be a jerk.
And I'll make you feel bad about it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, fair enough. And I will deserve it.
In my gentlemanly way.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. Well, now that we're done gloating, there's this new ad that Microsoft has out. And I find it fascinating because Microsoft is now directly attacking Apple's products with their commercials. And this is part of their Surface campaign ad that they're, or ad campaign that they're running right now. They've already made fun of the iPad Pro. And in this latest commercial, they compare the Surface tablet to a MacBook Air and say that the Surface is a superior computer to the MacBook Air.
I've done an instant analysis.
Okay.
First of all, as you said, Jeff, this is a comparison between a tablet and a notebook computer. Number two, it's a comparison against the MacBook Air, which is a product that Microsoft has chosen intentionally,
of course,
to compare the Surface Pro 4 against because of the weaknesses and the aging and the middle ground that the MacBook Air now holds. It doesn't have a Retina display like the Surface Pro. It's kind of an obsolete product. So it's convenient for Microsoft to compare its tablet against a notebook computer from a competitor who's in a product that's aging.
Can I put that a little more succinctly?
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft is attacking the MacBook Air for the things that the iPad Pro has. Every you just go through the bullet list of the things that they're criticizing.
Yeah, I created a list and they're complaining about the MacBook Air slower and heavier, and it doesn't have a touch screen. That's part of the aging, part of the design. They're really comparing apples and orange Surface Pros, in a sense. In one sense, it reveals the weakness of Apple's product strategy and the poor place that the MacBook Air has found itself. And we've been all writing about this for months, suspecting that the MacBook Air would either go away or be vastly reduced in price for education. The fact that Apple hasn't refreshed its product line and hasn't come out with new MacBook Pros and brought coherence to the MacBook line, the notebooks, is an opening for Microsoft, and Microsoft is properly exploiting it. But in terms of how notable or valuable or significant this comparison is, it's sort of weak.
It's weak for you and me and Brian, but for the general public outside of our technology echo chamber,
right,
what do you think?
Right. That's a good point. Commercials like this make a splash and people don't think about the technical details.
Yeah, I think it's a very compelling ad, including the song that I know that you don't like, Jeff.
I do not like the song at all. And it's not the message in the song, because I think it's a very compelling message. And I think for the market they are targeting, it says exactly the right things. It's just from a musical standpoint, I really don't like the song.
Here's the beauty of the song. The lines about, by the way, I have roof construction that is firing up on all cylinders. The lines that are about the Surface Pro 4 are all rhythmic and straight ahead, ordinary rhythm and rhyming structure and scheme. The lines that are about the MacBook Air are arrhythmical and sort of awkward and a little bit jumbled together. And it's just a very subtle positioning of the two products. One is smooth and polished, and one is awkward and unsmooth.
And to augment that, Brian, the assertions about the Surface Pro are rather qualitative, whereas the dings on the Air are very quantitative.
Yes. Mm. That's a very good point. I think it's a great ad for Microsoft.
It is.
I mean, it's disingenuous in some ways, because if they were making the same comparison to the iPad Pro, you wouldn't be able to hold they're the freaking same. But at the same time, this ad is, kids aren't being purchased iPad Pros for school. MacBook Air is much more of a go to school device. So it's just a solid message.
And the comparison probably wouldn't work as well against a MacBook.
No.
Well, which has got a Retina display and is lighter.
Yeah, some aspects. Still can't.
Right.
Still can't touch.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's overall, I think it's a really good ad. Even though it is, like you said, John, disingenuous in places and not a fair comparison. But when it comes to advertising, fair comparison is not part of the game plan.
Exactly.
You need to present your product in the best way.
Right. Yeah, and and Apple, to a certain extent, I feel like we have to mention this here. The PC world, the Wintel world. When's the last time we even thought about the Wintel world? The Wintel world smells blood in the water.
As you said this morning in the towers, they're circling like sharks. Hewlett Packard is on some initiatives with their Spectre notebook and their Z workstations. Now Microsoft is feeling the blood in the water. Yep, they're all moving here.
So, it's because Apple isn't freaking updating its Mac product line. It's annoying.
Yeah, in many cases, when you see ads like this, it's because the company running the ad is concerned about the competition. In this case, I think companies are looking at these ads as an opportunity.
Yes, they smell weakness.
Yeah.
There is a world of difference between... It's like the Mac and the I'm a Mac series from Apple. Mm-hmm. Those were not being worried about Microsoft. Those were or the Wintel world. Those were very much opportunistic ads exploiting the perceived weaknesses in the Wintel world. And it seems like we're seeing more and more PC makers feeling like Apple's got the same kind of weakness right now.
Yep. That's exactly what I'm seeing with these ads, despite the fact that I don't actually like the song. And Brian, it's probably the contrast between the two styles in the song that's really bothering me.
Yeah, and I think it's deliberate, subtle, and very clever.
Yes, it is. I still don't like the song, but it's absolutely very clever. All right, well, unless you guys have anything else that you feel really compelled to say about the whole Surface ad thing, I think we pretty much have a show right now. But before I actually wrap us up, John, here's your one last opportunity to publicly gloat over Brian.
Ha, 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 ha. Ding.
Oh, that's... You're sort of getting the spirit.
That's that was a really good start.
It's still lightweight. It's because John's not practiced at it because he's such a gentleman.
That's right. Yeah, practice.
He doesn't have any gloating skills.
It's an alien mentality.
Yeah.
Pardon the reference.
Well, all right. we're going to wrap up now. John, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Indeed.
And listeners, I'm glad you were enjoying last week's shows where I interviewed musicians, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a teaser. It's no secret that Brian as well is a musician, and Brian, I would go so far as to say a professional musician because you do have an album out. I didn't interview you.
I don't make my living from music.
No, nonetheless, just roll with it here. So I didn't interview you last week.
I know.
But don't worry, listeners, and don't you worry, Brian, because I have another set of interviews coming up in a few weeks, and I have a very special place for you.
Aww.
You will definitely be part of that set. And I'm not telling anyone yet what those interviews will be. You'll just have to wait and see.
And on that note.
Oh, well done, John. Well done. All right. Well, listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.